I'm Jeff Booth, and this is Faith Friday here on the Jeff Booth Show, brought to you by the Center for Sexual Expression and Education. We haven't talked about the Catholic Church in a while. They're always up to some kind of badness, so let's take a look at what they're doing now. The molestation of children under the Catholic Church continues, and a yearly audit of the Church by the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops, that was released recently, so that the number of allegations of child sexual abuse by clergy members skyrocketed to 4,434 between July of 2018 and June of 2019. That's compared to 1,451 from the year prior. And they're crowing about this because a lot come up because there have been changes to the law that opens up windows of opportunity. And very few, only a few dozen, involve people who are currently minors. So, hey, big win. You're only raping children by the dozens now. That's so much better. And it is still costing the church a fortune. Last year, 2019, they spent more than $280 million on child abuse settlements. I really don't understand how so many Catholics just sit back and let their church be forced to use so much of the money that these church members have tithed to pay off their bad behavior by allowing priests to molest children. Absolutely horrible news, but we're a little behind on it because it happened during the earlier part of the corona crisis. Cardinal George Pell was denied an appeal of his sex abuse conviction. He was like the first cardinal who really got a serious sentence, and it seemed like it would be almost impossible to bring down a cardinal. But they did it, and it was probably because what he did was so egregious. He was facing 50 years in prison. He was given a shockingly light sentence of 6 years. Way, way, way below what he earned, what he deserved. Now, the ruling on his appeal has been overturned, and he walks away. Personally, I believe that Cardinal Pell should have been sent to prison for the rest of his life. And I thought, yeah, maybe in Australia where they prosecuted him, there was a chance. But no. And his defense was terrible. This is what his lawyer actually called one of his instances of child abuse. The lawyer said that it was nothing more than a plain vanilla sexual penetration case where the child is not actively participating. That's child rape, you monster. Then that same lawyer, Brett Walker, had argued, nobody apart from the alleged victims and the alleged perpetrator were present in the room. Yeah, that's pretty standard with child rape. You don't invite a lot of people to come watch unless they're participating. As far as I'm concerned, George Pell is a notorious, awful child rapist. And now he has no conviction, and he's out free. I am physically sickened by what the court did in this case. But in Australia, at least for the Catholic Church, and it seems to be successful with the court, they have a pretty laissez-faire attitude about raping children. There's a Catholic priest in Australia named Vincent Gerard Ryan. He was convicted of sexually abusing more than 30 children. One priest, 30 children. Pathetic 14-year sentence for that. But the good news is that right after that, he also got another prison term for abusing altar boys. Here's what he said. It's a duty. I've committed myself to it. It'd have to be a very serious reason, unless I'm stopped by authority, for me to make that decision, and at this moment, I don't see it. Now, he's not talking about raping children, although I'm sure he feels the same way about that, but that's what he's saying in ABC's Revelation series, which was filmed the night of Ryan's 2019 criminal trial. And the pedophile priest is performing mass in his home, wearing holy vestment, and blessing communion wine and bread. He's had 4 convictions for sexually abusing, primarily boys, I guess. He's 81 now. He's serving a prison sentence of 3 years and 3 months. Why this man was ever let out of prison, I mean, he may not make it, probably won't make it, to see the light of day again, which would be good. But this man still thinks he should be a priest. And so does the Catholic Church. They've only given him slaps on the wrist. 4 convictions for abusing children. And not just a few. Dozens of them. So this guy, this pedophile rapist, is still a priest. And the Catholic Church is still utterly clueless about child rape. Or indifferent. Or I don't really know what's going on with them. But they are child rapist enablers. And they still are. One of the things that the Catholic Church has done repeatedly to hide sexual predators is to place them somewhere where they think nobody's looking. Someplace poor, where they're less likely to have the resources to fight the church. For decades, one of their prime dumping grounds was Ireland. And now we're finding out some more. Here's one of the newer reports. It's from ProPublica, one of the great gifts our country has, and they worked with the Houston Chronicle. What they found was dozens of priests were credibly accused of sexual abuse, but they were sent to other countries to protect them, not to stop them from raping children. And they, in this report, analyzed lists published by 52 U.S. dioceses that encompassed the top 30 in terms of the number of credibly accused living clergy, and those located in states along the U.S.-Mexico. Some were sent to Nigeria or to the Philippines. For priests living anywhere near the southern border, they were sent to Mexico. One of those priests was interviewed in March, and he told the reporters that when he spent time with a 15-year-old boy, whom he got drunk and then raped, he said, it was screwed up, but whatever happened was consensual. That's the kind of priests that they're relocating, and they're keeping them on the payroll, and they're keeping them as priests. The ProPublica report also showed that it seems like the church may be lying when they say that they have no idea where certain accused priests were. And the reason they know that the church is probably lying is because they found those same priests on websites of the churches that they were relocated to. So here's what was sad. The omissions, inconsistencies, and other shortcomings undercut the church's professed desire to repair its relationship with millions of disaffected Catholics, according to Anthony M. DeMarcos, a California lawyer who handles hundreds of child sex abuse cases. He said, every bit of hedging that they do to protect a pedophile just undermines completely any level of trust they're trying to build. Well, when it comes to pedophile priests, the Catholic Church has earned zero trust, and they have no credibility. Another hotspot for child sexual abuse is in the Catholic schools in Fiji, thanks to New Zealand's TV1. They just aired a new report about Catholic priests abusing children, and they got a person to come on camera and talk about when he attended a Catholic school in Fiji. He said the priests would lure boys up to their bedrooms using candy and oranges. You know, things like that in poor countries are pretty rare. And then they would sexually assault these children. So I think you're going to know the answer to this immediately when I ask the question, but where did these child molesting priests come from? Well, they were ones who were kicked out of New Zealand and Australia because they were accused of sexual abuse. So instead of just moving them locally, they sent them to Fiji, where the culture made it even easier for them to get away with raping children. Were the Catholic Church not a gigantic, powerful religion, much of their leadership would be in prison right now. But instead, they used their power to escape their responsibility and continue to perpetuate the horrors of child sexual abuse. But wait! The Catholic Church just released guidelines to bishops saying that all minimally credible allegations of abuse should be reported to local law enforcement, even if priests are not legally required to do so. Hooray! They did something that should have been done 20 years ago. Nah, but you know there's going to be a rub. Yes, the rub is that the church can handle the initial allegations internally and determine whether the accusation is real or not. Which is not how it works in the real world. You hear an accusation, you don't get to investigate it, you turn that accusation over to the police, and they investigate it, not you. But the church will continue to investigate internally before deciding whether they should turn this over to the police or not. So it's a tiny bit better, but with so many loopholes, you You can drive a truck filled with altar boys through it.